Thank you, brother. It is good to be out to God's house this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. And I'm excited to be here in the house of God, excited to get ready to preach the Word of God, excited about looking over this church and seeing such a big crowd on Sunday morning. I encourage you to keep inviting people. There is a few seats left. I like to see every one of them filled up, wouldn't you, for the glory of God? Then we'll put the choir and fill that up, and we'll just go on for God. I'm excited to be here. Matthew 15, you there? Say amen. Look down to verse number 10, please. Matthew 15 and verse number 10. You ever done this? I had a thought that come on my mind from Matthew 15. Then I started studying Matthew 15, and within the thought, another thought popped out. So I'm going to magnify the second thought and give you a little bit of introduction about the first thought. The Bible says in verse number 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth in the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended afar? They heard this saying. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. What a statement here. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enteth into the mouth goeth into the belly, and it is cast out into the drop? But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now I want to give you the background of this passage of Scripture. If you study the first 10 verses, you'll see the background over and over. And that is that the Pharisees was giving the Lord Jesus a hard time. They were Pharisees. They were self-righteous. By the way, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They were self-righteous. For the first time, the Lord Jesus makes a statement to them. This is the first recorded passage about that in verse number 7. He calls them hypocrites. He just comes out for the first time and calls them hypocrites. You know, we're living in a day. I'm going to run a rabbit here, okay? We're living in a day right now when folks don't want to really hear straight preaching. They just don't want to hear it anymore. Am I preaching? What they want is most of the time they don't want much on Sunday night. No Sunday night, that's just do away with that. That'll ease their conscience. No Wednesday night, that's do away with that. By the way, if you was here Wednesday night, it's one of the best services I've been in for a long time on Wednesday night. It was awesome. And by the way, I'm glad for Sunday night service and Wednesday night service where preaching's done here at the Taze Valley Baptist Church. But there's a crowd out there that just don't want to listen. And they're Pharisees. And the context here, every time Jesus done a miracle or a work, this Pharisee crowd, who were traditionalists, by the way, it'll be a happy day in your life that tradition quits running your life and the Holy Ghost starts running your life. And they were traditionalists, and Jesus said, they're blind, that leave the blind, let them fall into the ditch. Now, let me give you two things by way of introduction for this passage, and this is what I was thinking about at the beginning. Then a verse popped out and then a new message came from it. But introducing this passage of Scripture, there's just two real big thoughts that I want to give you in these 10 verses. Number one, the real you is what is on the inside. The real you is not this outside. The real you is on the inside. If good things come out of you, that means you've got righteousness and God on the inside. If you've got bad things coming from your heart and wickedness comes from your heart, that means what's in your heart comes out and it's revealed. Number one, by way of introduction, the real you is what's on the inside. Number two, the real you will be revealed on the outside. Come on, help me now. If you're one way on the inside, guess what? It'll eventually crawl out on the outside. It can't stay dormant. If the real you is righteousness and you love God and you love Jesus and you want a soul win, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come out. But if the real you is self-righteousness and a Pharisee attitude, guess what? That'll happen. That'll come out. But here's the message. This is one of the most frightening verses I've ever read in my life. And I read it over and over, and then this week, boom, the verse, little phrase comes out. You know what Jesus said about those Pharisees? Look right there in verse 14. Let them alone. Wow. How many here this morning are thanking God that He's not letting you alone? How many of you today happy that God is around you and taking care of you and supplying your needs, and you know He's an ever-present help in the time of need? Somebody help me right there. Glory to God. Let them alone. By the way, that was mentioned one other time in the Bible. And I'm going to read that to you. You don't have to turn, but you can write a note on where it's at. In Hosea chapter 4, talking about Ephraim. In verse number 17, the Bible said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Here's what I want to preach this morning. When God leaves you alone. When God leaves you alone. You may trash talk all you want, and you may put your little bony fist up to God and say, hey, I got it. I don't even know if you exist anyway. Let me say this to you, God. This is my way. I'm living my life. Hold it. Be careful. Because He may just let you have what you want and let you alone. I'm going to give you five things and five times in the Word of God where God actually leaves folks alone. Number one, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. I'll just go over there and read these out to you so you'll see them from the Word of God. And I want you to see this. When God lets you alone. Praise God. What? I'm about ready to shout here. I want to tell you something. God's not letting me alone and the devil's not letting me in alone. That really makes me know that I'm a child of God. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, he said, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. I want to tell you, number one, when God leaves you alone is when the spirit ceases to strive with you. There's only one way to be saved. Look at me. There's only one way to be saved, when the Holy Ghost is working on your heart. When the Holy Ghost, I still believe in old-timey conviction. I still believe God gets a hold of sinners and convicts them of sin and turns them around and turns them toward the cross and turns them toward the love of God. And I want you to know something. When God leaves you alone is when He ceases to strive with you. Some of you might be saying, boy, the Lord's working on me. Well, you better move while He's working. You better jump while He's there. I remember when I worked for the Department of Highways, and there's a boy there, and Brother Bill knows him. He drove race cars. His name was Kenny. I can't remember the last name, but Kenny was not an atheist, brother, but he was an agnostic. And I go in, and by the way, you got to know something about our place. You got to know something about our workplace. If you walk in our workplace to the right, by the way, I always like the right. To the right, you'll get that. To the right was the Christian side. To the left was the heathens. Now, I go in the Christian side and come over there. But every once in a while, I close my eyes and walk over there and preach a little bit in the sinner side. You said, why'd you close your eyes? Because they were sinners. You could see it. And that one boy, he was an agnostic. He come in, he said, hey, there ain't no God. I'm not sure there's a God. And he give me all that stuff. And I said, well, the only reason you don't think there's a God, he's not working on you right now. Boy, oh boy, that boy. Remember that, Bill? That boy. Let me tell you something. That boy, he looked at me. He just walked away. I was preaching in church at Hurricane Baptist Church in Roane County in a little town called Cleo. By the way, Baptists are mean. Some of them are meaner than the devil. And I took this church after building a church up to about from 18 to 118. I took this church, and I just felt God was leading me to the church. I was there for 3 weeks, low scale. Thought everything was great. I got called on a Tuesday night, and the church burned down. Church burned down, Paul. I went up and watched it burn. We cried over it. We got us a little place to worship that had sewer in it, and we had to wear overcoats to serve God in it. Now, after about a month wearing overcoats, and it was the winter of 77. Y'all remember that? It was awful. And after a while doing that, I came in one day, and here sat Kenny. He said, I want to ask you a question. I'll just believe all you say if you can just answer this question. He said, why doesn't God save the fallen angels? I said, oh, I got that answered. You're on your way. Hey, by the way, I told him why. Because they were not made in God's image, but we were made in God's image. Somebody help me right there. And he bypassed angels, and he came to die for you and me. Somebody help me right there. I'm getting real happy. Amen. And Kenny looked at me and said, I heard your church burned down. He pulled out his checkbook. Agnostic. Wrote me $1,000. He said, I'm not sure I believe in your God, but I've got to be honest with you. I believe you have something. And then I took it. You said, did you take it? Well, sure I took it. If you're the worst sinner in the world and want to give me $1,000 to put in the church, get it. He gave it, and I tell you what I done. I said, Lord, I prayed right beside him and said, Lord, you touch him. It wasn't but a few weeks I let him get Jesus. Amen. You know what the difference was? The Holy Ghost came on him. Amen. Hey, by the way, you believe anyway if you don't have the Holy Ghost on you. But if the Holy Ghost comes on you, I want you to know you'll be saved. But I want you to know it's a dangerous thing when the Holy Ghost ceases striving with you. Amen. Then number two. Turn with me. Turn with me if you can to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. Just go over it with me real quick. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And verse number 2 or 3 or 2. You there? Say amen. Amen. Let's look at verse 1 also. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you preach on demonology today? Touch on it? It's a real thing. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience what? Seared with a hot iron. I want to say this, two things about this verse of Scripture. Number one, sinners do it. You can be a sinner man and sear your conscience to the place where God does not work on you and God does not operate in your life, and you become as wicked as you can become. And by the way, saints can do the same thing. they can sear their conscience to the place where nothing influences anymore. I want you to know, you look up at me. I want you to know I'm glad God still influences my life. Amen. I remember when I've been pastoring now for 40 years, almost 41, 36 on my way to 37 here. As a great-grandlady, mama of a boy that was out in Spencer Hospital. You remember when Spencer used to be in Spencer and State Hospital, Mental Hospital. And she asked me to go and see her great-grandson. And I went. And when I got there, I've never seen anything like this. You've got to understand, I've never seen anything like this. He was in a padded cell. It was there to keep him from hurting himself. And I walked in, and I looked him right in the face, and I said, "I'm Pastor Smith. I'm your great-grandma's pastor." And he looked at me, and he said, I never forget his words. He just started screaming, "Let me alone! Let me alone! Let me alone!" I went and I prayed for him anyway. And I went back and told great-grandma, I said, "I'm sorry, I went and prayed over him. I did everything I can, but I believe his conscience is seared with a hot iron." And she told me that when her granddaughter was pregnant, he was birthed with fetal alcohol syndrome. All the boy knew were drugs and alcohol for his whole life. And when he got to that place, listen to me, young people, don't get involved in that junk. Somebody say amen. Moms and dads, don't. Hey, that's why we got a frontline ministry we're starting to try to help people be delivered from that kind of junk. I got a God that's able to deliver. His whole life had been wicked to the place now he was saying, "Leave me alone. Let me alone. The worst thing could happen to you in this room is for you to sin and sin and sin till your conscience is seared with a hot iron." That's frightening. Number three, stay with me. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. If you're there, say amen. I want you to notice this scripture. Paul speaking, "But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What that means, I myself should be disapproved. I tell you, when God lets a Christian alone, I'm walking down a moment. I got a whole group of preachers here in the front row. And I want to tell you the secret of John Smith. It is not my ability. It's not my education. I have some, but I'm not. That's not my. No, it's God's hand. Amen. Roger, it's God's hand on us. Amen. That's all it is. Hey, you think we're something? We're nothing without God's hand. Amen. And here's what I want. You look at me, Christian. You want to see your life go down the drain? You want to see everything fall apart? Right here's one of the finest young men I know. I love him. He's launched out in the deep. He's leading his highways and hedges, a bus route. Now he's going on to the front line, helping people with addictions. And I'll tell you something about this boy. About 5, 6 years ago, he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going anywhere, was he? Got an education. Probably wish he didn't do that. Now he's since got his master's in theology. I'm going to tell you. Now don't get upset about what I'm saying. I know you believe you're the prettiest pastor and all that stuff. God help you when you really finally realize. I'm going to tell you the secret to this boy. It's the same secret in my life. God's got his hand on him. Can't explain no other way. You couldn't have been like he was 5 years ago, coming in with flip-flops and his hair hanging down. He don't even have no hair now. God judged him. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you right now, I want to tell you why this boy's out in the highways and hedges. I want to tell you why he's got a burden for those that are in front of him. God's got his hand on him. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, whether you're a young person, whether you're a grandpa, grandmother, the worst thing can happen to you if God takes his hand off of you.
Amen.
You're done. You'll be wandering around. Ain't nothing better than that with God's hand on you. Whoa! Hey, listen to me. I'm not much, but I know when his hand's on me. Right now, his hand's on me. Glory to God. Amen. That's your buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, you're Christians. You're saved. You can't operate without God. Amen. Don't even try. Amen. Number four. Turn to Matthew 24, verse 42 and 43. This is a somber type of sermon. Matthew 24, 42 and 43. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look what it says. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But this know, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Number four, when God leaves you alone, is when the devil destroys your home. I want you to look at me, child of God. Look at me, unsaved people. There ain't no hope today without Jesus. And him being first in your life. Now I want to tell you what he wants, the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to leave it unable to function. We can blame it on this and we can blame it on that. But I want to tell you the devil wants to destroy it. And the worst thing can happen if you sit there and allow him to destroy your home. Are you hearing me? It's a mess when it happens. It just don't affect you and your partner, but it affects your children. I'm going to tell you something, son. I'm going to say this to you. As your wife goes, how you're going to go. You need to lead her. She's a good woman. She went and he said, though. But I want to tell you, if God takes his hand off of y'all, it can happen to you. It can happen. Let me give you something here. Let me tell you something. I'm the pastor of this church right here. But I want to tell you this right now. This church ain't number one. Now, it may look like it's number one. It may look by my hours it's number one. It's not number one. That little lady sitting right over there that had a birthday that y'all celebrated, she's number one. You put your family first.
Amen.
And putting them first means you're going to try to get them saved and get them right and serving God and having devotions and doing right for God.
Amen.
Am I preaching?
Yeah.
Lastly, turn to Luke 16. I'm done.
Luke 16. If you're there, say amen. Luke chapter number 16. Go with me down to verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his feet full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lived. And the word lift didn't say lifted. If it was lifted, that means he was still there. Or he was, it was over. But lift means he's here right now. Amen. Presently in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Number five, when you're left alone is when your soul slides into hell. You know, a bunch of these, I call them dumb dogs that can't bark. These preachers today that don't preach on hell and don't preach on judgment and don't preach on sin. I'll tell you what, they're the criminals. They're dumb dogs that can't bark. You ought to thank God we still believe in heaven and hell. Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven. But I want to tell you the same word for heaven is the word for hell. It's eternal. I want you to know the worst thing can happen to you is God lets you alone and you slide into hell. Bow your head with me.